Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
...of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Okay? The mission of Jesus, I think it's a little funny to me. In church culture, or the TV church culture, or a lot of what I read in church culture, frankly just says very little about sin. And I'm not, I don't want to be that guy. The thundering, sin guy or anything. But it is like the primary reason of Jesus coming to save his people from our sins, right? And so then we have to really kind of understand that sin is somewhat a pervasive problem in our race, right? Or else God certainly wouldn't have sent his only son on this mission, right, to take on a human form, God the Son to take on human form and come and live with on it. It says he reduced himself and became one, like one of us. So he reduced the expanse of the omnipotent, omniscient godness that he is and took on human flesh. I mean, what a mission that was. And really, the prevailing purpose is to save his people from their sin. So that means, number one, I must have sin. And number two, Jesus came to save me from it. So that means that if I have a functional Christianity, there should be some kind of a measurable way that I can tell that I'm moving from this life of sinfulness, which first of all, I have to find out what that is, find out what God doesn't like, what he dislikes, identify sin. That's why we have the Word of God, so we can identify what sin is, the internal sins, the attitudinal sins, but also the expressive sins and everything in between. I got to find out what those are, because when I find out what those are, I'm going to find out that I practice a few of them, a lot of them, pretty much all the time, in my attitudes anyway. Word sin means to miss the mark. Doesn't mean that you're not a functional human being. It just means no matter how hard you really try to be righteous, you just come up with a little bit of yourself salted in that. And so your desire to be perfectly good, you just can't hit the bullseye. Just always miss the mark, high or low. Right? Now, the first thing that Adam did when he sinned, what does he did? He covered up his nakedness, his shame, right? So, Jesus came, he will save his people from their sins. That makes me real happy, by the way. It said, I don't know who said this, I don't, maybe C.S. Lewis or somebody, he said, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. How? Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Okay? God moves in unexpected ways, and this is like one of the things that takes a lot to get used to, because we take a lot of classes in Christianity, and we learn the patterns that God has used sometimes over and over and over again. So it's almost like we think we should be able to anticipate his movement, and very, very frankly, God likes to just do something completely different. And that takes somebody who's embodying the two properties of both waiting and watching. The problem with waiting is waiting gets boring and makes you stop watching. You can watch really sort of acutely, or you can be very, very aware and very, very watchful for a short amount of time. You know, you can be watchful for a little bit amount of time. I think God is going to show up. I think he's going to do something. I'm going to watch for him. I'm going to be ready. Here he comes. I'm looking for opportunities. Is God in these opportunities? And before you know it, you get the remote, you see what's on TV, you're just going to flip through a couple of channels, you pick up a book. I mean, sometimes we would rather do anything than wait and watch. We'd rather do anything, and it's uncanny. Actually, the only thing I could probably ever relate it to is when I was a young kid and schoolwork. You know, just having to sit and having to concentrate on schoolwork, it's a skill. And I'm telling you, in God, waiting and watching is a skill. And it's a skill, frankly, that few possess. To be in that position before the Lord, looking and watching, is a skill set. We must be watching. Jesus came in an unexpected way to humble people through humble people. Mary and Joseph were purified by the difficulty of that assignment. Every assignment that God puts you through that's difficult, everything that you go through that's difficult, if you'll be waiting and watching during the time when you're passing through that assignment, you're passing through that difficulty, if you'll break toward Jesus, it will have great benefit. Adversity has great benefit, and I'm not wishing adversity on you all, but how many people have lived long enough to understand we all go through some of it? We all go through some adversity, you know? And sometimes we go through adversity and we stay in denial. We say, well, we're not in adversity, or I don't go through any adversity. I've never really had adversity. But the truth is, when you go through adversity, if you go through it in a Godward way, you'll benefit much. Yeah? They were purified through this process. This young woman and man were sent on a journey that they had no idea. The two of the most important people that have ever lived in the human race, Mary and Joseph, and they really didn't have a clue what they were a part of. We always want God's big picture and what great thing God wants us to do. What he wants us to do is be obedient. And you find yourself a central character in some unbelievable thing that God is doing. I don't think during their lives they ever fully comprehended what they were a part of. Does that make sense? That's where God is at. God is not for the ambitious one who wants to ride on the high places of the earth. God really favors the humble. He really does favor the humble. But there's something about being humble and having faith at the same time. That God can do anything. I'm expecting him to do things. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like, but I'm going to watch and wait. until my assignment comes to fruition. Are you with me? That's what Mary and Joseph did. Used to play football. And my early years, sophomore year, I guess, I wasn't on first string. Senior year, you get to be on junior, and senior year, you get to be like first string. But as a sophomore, you're dying to get into the game. And you're like, some of the guys are it's cool, because some of the guys just follow the coach around and say, "Coach, put me in, coach. And then there's the other guy on the opposite end who never says anything. Well, if the coach decides I should go in, he'll put me in. Guess who got more play time? The guy who drove the coach crazy. He squeak a wheel. Put me in, coach. It's my turn. Put me in, coach. Can I go in? Coach, you need somebody? He looks like he's hurt. Can I go in, coach? Follows the coach up and down. And you could tell the coach, I got a kick out of it. You know, those of us who are in God, you have an opportunity to be a part of the telling of the narrative of the universe. That when it's folded out and the story is told of this age, that you can be playing a key role in it. What's the cost? You have to watch and wait. In your prayer time, you're saying, put me in, coach. I want to play. Put me in, coach. Where can I play? We come into the kingdom with earthly expectations. And so we take our earthly expectations and we project them on the Word of God. And we expect God to come along and fulfill all of our earthly expectations. And I think he does do that, but that's not really, it's not what he's about. You serve him well, he'll take care of you. That's how it works. You serve him well, he'll take care of you. You watch and you wait. Waiting is always too long. I ask people say, how long do I have to pray? As long as it takes. It's always going to be too late. It's always going to be too long. You're always going to have the opportunity to drop out. You're always going to have the opportunity to be sidetracked. But God will always come through. So you see, it was God's plan to bring Jesus. It was God's plan to bring Jesus. And sometimes we want God to perform our plan. And really what he's looking for people to do is to sign up to be a part of his plan. What's his plan? I'll tell you my part. Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus is all about building his church. All right, God moves in unexpected ways. We must be watching. Jesus came in an unexpected way. And Mary and Joseph did not despise small beginnings. Super, super important thing if you're ever going to be part of a startup ministry is to not despise small things. Because it really only shows whether or not your heart is pure for your work or not. If you don't despise small things. Small beginnings. I think we should not despise small beginnings, but we should anticipate growth in whatever we do in God. Obscure remote assignment, misunderstood, these two kids, they didn't really have a plan, except the government said they had to go to Bethlehem. They had low social status. Two of the most important people in human history probably never knew what they were even about. I mean, they knew that Jesus was a great prophet, but the full-scale blowout of what Jesus was, I don't know if they ever knew it. Right? Zechariah 13, 8 and 9 says, "And it has come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring one-third through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined. And test them as gold is tested, and they will call my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God." We see the Lord, you know, there may be two-thirds of our countrymen, our neighbors, who are not really interested in following God, but one-third are. And those one-third, the price that we pay is to be refined like silver and like gold. We have to be brought through the fire. What is the fire? The fire is affliction. Sometimes it's affliction. Sometimes it's rejection. Sometimes it's loss. Sometimes it's waiting. Is affliction, right? False accusations against you, that's the fire. Ridicule, that's the fire. Misunderstanding, that's the fire. Failed attempts, that's the fire. Even political strife in a nation like ours, that's fire. Financial trials, that's fire. Unanswered prayers, that's fire. But if you can believe it, the fire comes for the purpose of refinement. And there are one-third among the people who are called to be tried by the fire so that we can be refined and we can be suitable for God's good use. You stay in the Jesus lane. When adversity comes, when trial comes, you stay in the lane. You continue. You walk because the end is not yet. You with me? So affliction, I think Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem with her pregnant and him kind of confused was affliction. They had no money. They couldn't get a room at the inn. Low social status. God loves the humble. God loves the humble. Bonhoeffer said this, God travels wonderful ways with human beings, but he does not comply with the views and opinions of people. God does not go the way that people want to prescribe for him. Rather, his way is beyond all comprehension, free and self-determined, beyond all proof. Where reason is indignant, boy, that's so good, where our nature rebels, where our piety anxiously keeps us away, that is precisely where God loves to be. There he confounds the reason of the reasonable. He aggravates our nature, our piety. That is where he wants to be. And no one can keep him from it. Only the humble believe him and rejoice that God is so free and so marvelous that he does wonders where people despair. That he takes what is little and lowly and makes it marvelous. And that is the wonder of wonders, that God loves the lowly. God is not ashamed of lowliness of human beings. God marches right in. He chooses people as his instruments and performs his wonder. Where one would least expect them, God is near to lowliness. He loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the excluded, the weak and the broken. Isn't that Christmas? Joseph was a just man. The Bible says he was a just man. He planned on covering her shame. It was an embarrassing situation, and he desired to protect Mary and cover her. He desired to cover her. He was going to bring her away secretly so that she wouldn't be ashamed. What a great, honorable man that would cover his betrothed, not even wife yet, cover his betrothed sin, or what he considered to be her circumstance. It was then that the angel had to say, hey, Joseph, don't worry, you don't have to do that. What's in her is of the Holy Spirit. Right? But he's still not going to do the Irish jig. Right? Because who's going to believe that? It's crazy talk. Am I right? Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. He who goes talk by repeating it means telling other people of someone else's brokenness, someone else's shame, someone else's sin. That table talk, that's where can sometimes be the den of the demons. Repeating a thing. You know what I heard? And then 1 Peter 4, if you think that's Old Testament alone, Peter writes, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Right? Love covers a multitude of sins. It's one of the great, most noble thing that a child of God can do, which is keep things to himself and not be a part of the gossip vine that has a tendency to find its way in churches. And in that light, Mark 14:37, "Then he came and found them sleeping. So he said to Simon, 'Are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour?'" Watching and waiting. You go in prayer and you're praying, you're watching. The Holy Spirit speaks through a still small voice. The Holy Spirit will speak. The Holy Spirit will develop your character, develop your inner man, develop your inner life so that you can just receive a puff of a flash of God's grace, and it will change your direction completely. You'll know that God has spoken. But it's not by some billboard. God puts up a billboard, you know, and wakes you up, shakes you in the middle of the night. It's just this. But you have to cultivate your watchingness. You have to cultivate the fact that you are a watcher, that you're in prayer and you pray and you're watching for the Holy Spirit. God desires to come to our generation as much as he came to Jesus' generation. And it will come through the people who are watching and waiting. Amen? And how do you expect something that God has never done before? You watch and you wait. You follow his cue, and you find yourself in circumstances that you've never dreamt of before. So what Mary and Joseph did, follow his cue, right? Moving to the end here. The angel told Joseph that this baby would save his people from their sins. The word translated sins is hamartia, which means to miss the mark. When we think of Jesus saving us from our sins, we often think of him saving us from the guilt of wrongdoing, which he certainly does do that. But salvation from missing the mark means so much more than tearing up your rap sheet. If Jesus saved us from missing the mark, it stands to reason that he saved us to hit the mark. Where we previously missed the mark, we now have the power to hit the mark, to discover and fulfill a specific purpose and plan consistent with a particular aim of God's. Our Savior is first our Creator, and to that end, he's passionately and irrevocably committed to us reaching our designed purpose and breaking cycles of failure so that we can fully embrace the seasons of fulfillment. You have a call and a destiny as great as Mary or Joseph's. There is no end to the great thing that Jesus is looking to do, and he's looking for regular people to do it. But with regular people, he has the opportunity to use you to fulfill a destiny that will affect the nations. Be recorded in eternity as something as righteous and good that pours forth from this birth of Jesus Christ this day. We live to glorify Jesus Christ. We live to be on his team. We live to be able to, at one point in the timeline of history, to carry the ball. Just to carry the ball. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Follow him down the field. Put me in, coach. I remember Coach turning around saying, "Englehart, I know you're here." Yeah. So I give him about 30 seconds. And I'll go back down. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Do you understand? That's watching and waiting and being prepared and desiring to play a part in this great game of the kingdom of God. So Jesus saves us from something for something. Perhaps the best way to celebrate the baby in the manger is to let him do what he came to do, save us completely. To determine now that our next season will be one where we allow him to free us from the missing the marks so we can become his power players and hit the marks. Each of us must commit to a season of belief that there is an irrevocable reason why you are here and fully embrace it. You're here for Jesus. You're a butcher, a baker, candlestick maker, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, whatever you are here for an irrevocable reason that Jesus has created you and produced you. If you believe it, and you'll take up the discipline of waiting and watching, learning and growing, God will give you a chance to carry the ball. So when we run the videotape in eternity, it'll all of a sudden go blank. When they're looking at your life and they say, what's that? God will say, don't worry about what that is. You don't need to know about that. Because that's where you and I have maybe not hit the mark. And all of a sudden, in living color, is going to be you carrying the ball, busting through linemen, shooting for the touchdown to accomplish your purpose within the tapestry of his kingdom in our generation.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a message entitled, Watching and Waiting. All of us at On Fire Radio prayed that this message of actively waiting on God propels you into the new year. Before a new year, people always make resolutions. There's always a place we want to improve in our lives. We try to find fulfillment in setting our own goals for our year. There's nothing wrong with those things, but we will never truly be fulfilled until we make Jesus the center of our lives by believing in him and making him our Savior. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. If that's you, and you would like to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I am far from you. I turn from my wicked ways and place you at the center of my life. Jesus, I believe that you lived a perfect life, that you died on a cross, that you took my place for my punishment of my sins. I believe that you died and you rose again, victorious over sin and death. Jesus, I place my faith in you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill me with your power. God, I thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to find a Bible-believing church, start a prayer life, and start reading the Word of God. If you don't have a church, we would love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York, at 10 a.m. every Sunday. You can also follow us on Facebook by searching Catskill Mountain Christian Center, or find out more about our ministry online at www.cmcconline.org. You can also give to the ministry of On Fire Radio by going to www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off, wishing you all a very happy and blessed new year. God bless, and we'll see you in church.